Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Manna from Heaven. Here's Jerry Childs with our scripture reading.
Our scripture today comes from the 6th chapter of John, verses 24 through 35. Now, to understand the scripture that we're reading this morning, we must understand the context. If we begin in the first part of the 6th chapter, we find that Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. Then the disciples get in the boat and start toward Capernaum, and Jesus walks on water to come where they are, and then they end up in Capernaum. So now we're caught up on the text that we're reading today. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent him. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What works are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Bruce Nolan is a TV news reporter, played by Jim Carrey in the 2003 blockbuster film called Bruce Almighty. I can tell by some of your smiles that you've seen the movie before. When the movie begins, Bruce has a pretty good life. He has an amazing girlfriend, appropriately named Grace, played by none other than Jennifer Aniston. He's got a steady job and a good group of friends who seem to care deeply about him. But Bruce also has a healthy dose of confidence and a double portion of ambition, you might say, when he's passed over for a promotion at work, the coveted anchorman position. Bruce doesn't take it so well. In fact, he takes it so poorly that he blames God for the fact that he didn't get the promotion. And more, he blames God for every disappointment in his life. There's a great scene that shows Bruce in his car driving recklessly away from his apartment. He left and told Grace he just needed to drive a bit to clear his mind. It's kind of a breaking point for his character. In a full-blown tizzy, Bruce prays out loud to God as he drives down the road, asking for a sign, demanding that God show up and make it very clear that he, Bruce, hasn't been deserted by God, that he hasn't been forgotten or abandoned or left alone. As Bruce prays to God for a sign, he drives past one of those big flashing road construction signs that says, Caution ahead, in big orange letters. And just as he speeds past that sign, he says, "Oh, I need your guidance, Lord, please send me a sign." And at that exact moment, a truck carrying road signs like "Stop," "Wrong way," "Caution," pulls out in front of him, causing him to swerve. As the background music plays, angelic tones indicating to the audience that these are the signs that God is sending, Bruce, oblivious to it all, interrupts his prayer as he swerves around the sign truck and says, what is this joker doing? Once back in his lane, Bruce's eyes land on the rosary beads that are hanging from the rearview mirror. He grabs them in his hand and says, "All right, I'll do it your way." And he's holding the beads and he begins to pray again. "Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Reach into my life." And at that exact moment, his prayer is interrupted as the musical crescendo reaches its climax with the sound of Bruce's tire hitting a huge pothole in the road, which jolts the rosary beads out of his hands and onto the floorboard of the car. A short moment later, Bruce pops up having retrieved the beads and flashes a quick, victorious smile just seconds before his trip crashes to a sudden halt as his car hits a pole head on. Angrier than ever, Bruce steps out of the car and walks over to the side of a nearby bridge with the rosary beads still in his hand. He throws them over into the water, yelling, "Fine! The gloves are off, pal! Come on! Smite me, almighty smiter! You're the one who should be fired! The only one around here not doing his job is you!" His prayer and the scene both end with his agonizing, bellied words of, "Answer me!" Where you and I might have expected a more polite, "Amen." Like most of Carey's roles, the character that he plays, Bruce Nolan, is a brilliant, hyperbolic expression of the ways that so many of us go looking for God. Like Bruce, on normal days, our need for supernatural signs of God's presence and attention and concern, they can go somewhat unnoticed. Things are going well, so we don't really have much to complain about. No one to blame and no one to thank but ourselves. But like Bruce Nolan, on these days, we can tend to overlook the seemingly less glamorous gifts that remind us of God's care and God's concern in even those mundane moments. Take Grace, for example. Both the character in the movie played by Jennifer Aniston and the concept of grace that we experience in our own lives, how many times do we experience grace and forget where it comes from in the first place? Did you hear that? How many times do we experience grace and forget where it comes from in the first place? While I don't believe that the filmmakers had today's gospel reading from John in mind when they wrote this particular scene, I do believe that the crowds and the disciples that we follow in John's story are playing out a very similar drama, a very human drama. The biblical scene opens with a crowd searching for Jesus and the disciples after Jesus had performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and just a few fish. In context of John's whole gospel, this story, or that feeding of the 5,000, is the fourth in a series of signs that John lines up in his version of the good news. And with each sign, the crowd grows more and more anxious to know, who is this person who is performing these miracles? Who is this Jesus who heals our illnesses and feeds our hunger? Who is this man? With so many unanswered questions and an ever-growing thirst for information, the crowd develops a new question in today's reading. When did you come here? You see, they were surprised because Jesus was not where they expected him to be. And like the crescendos of the cinematic experience of Bruce Almighty, Jesus' first words of response, "Very truly I tell you," those are our clues that what is coming next is like a truck full of signs passing by unnoticed as the main character, or main characters in this case, pray or ask for a sign. You are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill, Jesus says. You are looking for me not because you saw and understood the sign, but because your bellies were full. You see, you've got it all out of whack, Jesus says. You live your life searching for food that does not satisfy, that which will not endure, the things that make you feel secure in the moment, but not the things that ultimately matter. Those pass right by without being noticed, without being received, without being acted upon, without being cherished. Well, what sign have you given us then, so that we may see and believe, they ask? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Those are the signs that God gives, Jesus. Give us a sign like that. Give us a sign like the ones we've heard about, the ones we would recognize, the ones which show up in our past, in our tradition. Once again, like the background music in a good film, Jesus pipes up, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you that sign, that bread from heaven. It was God. You had it wrong then. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life not only to you, but life to the world. Give us this bread always then," they ask, sounding again like Bruce Nolan in the car, oblivious to all of the signs around him. "I am that bread," Jesus says. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, will never be thirsty." You see, here in the gospel, John is telling his audience, like an award-winning Hollywood screenwriter, that the crowds of people are missing every single sign, even as they are asking for them. In chapter 4, a sign, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well where she gets water for her physical thirst, yes, but she also gets living water from Jesus, more than she asked for. In chapters 4 and 5, Jesus heals the bodies of an official's son and then a man who could not walk on his own, and the people want their sickness, their illness healed. And so Jesus heals bodies, but he offers so much more in the way of healing, more than they could ask for. In chapter 6, they gather without provision for their physical hunger. And yes, Jesus fills their bellies, but then tries to tell them that their immediate physical needs will be met. But that can't be everything. That can't be all they learn to search for. These cannot be the only signs because there's so much more on the table, spiritually speaking, of course. In the context of the larger Gospel of John, Jesus continues to be on the move. Jesus is out meeting the people, interacting with the whole world, as John says. And the crowds are intrigued by the miracles and the wonderful things that he's doing, but they don't yet have the spiritual imagination to ask the right questions. They ask for individual healings, for people that they know and love, for people they see and pass by on the side of the street. Show us your power. Give us a sign. Heal that person there. They ask for one meal at a time. Multiply this bread. They say, these people are hungry, and we don't know how we are going to feed them here, right now, in this moment. Give us a sign. You know, these are the same questions that we ask when we're searching for God, sometimes in moments of panic. Okay, God, just this once, keep me safe. Heal my loved one. Help me get this promotion. Get me out of this sticky situation. And I promise, God, I will never do it again. If you do this one thing, God, if you show me this sign here today, like I am asking, I will never take you for granted. I'll never forget that you showed up, that you saved me from this thing, the thing that I know I deserve. God, intervene now. Of course, though, when it's not us, when it's Bruce Nolan in the movie, or when it's the crowd searching for Jesus, or even the disciples, it is so easy for us to see that they are missing the point. Yes, God so often does show up in the moments of crisis, offering a sign, healing a broken body, offering food, offering grace where grace is not deserved. But the bigger miracle, the more impressive sign, is the one that often goes unnoticed. Who are you? They ask. Where can we find you? Give us a sign to show that it is God who has truly sent you. Give us a sign to show that all you're saying to us is true. These are the questions that they bring to Jesus on that day. And as we read it in the Gospel of John, we kind of feel sorry for them because we know how the story plays out. We know that they are missing the biggest and the brightest sign that is right there in their midst. And of course, that sign is Jesus. It's like the construction sign that flashes caution ahead as Bruce drives on by. Jesus is right there, living and breathing and working among the people, tending to the needs of the crowds, offering them acceptance, compassion, relationship, inclusion, grace, and most of all, love. And all they can think about is bread. Jesus is right there showing them how to make the bread, how to fill the cup, how to multiply the meal, this and every meal, so that they too can go on and feed not only those who are right in front of them, but feed the whole world. But for whatever reason, they just can't imagine it. Maybe they were waiting for Moses or Elijah or a familiar face or voice from their past, something that seemed a little bit more, you know, like God tends to show up. Maybe they expected the food to taste and look like manna and quail. After all, nobody really knows how expansive or diverse God's culinary menu is. Maybe they were afraid of what it would mean if God really was breaking in through Jesus of Nazareth, the one who never quite showed up where one might expect, the one who never really answered the questions exactly how they thought they might be answered. Maybe the path of following that sign, the sign of God incarnate, was a little bit more involved than they had once anticipated. Maybe it required more than what they thought they signed up for. Maybe believing meant more than just an intellectual exercise, a spoken commitment. Maybe it meant eating the meal, this meal, and then following in the footsteps of the one who set the table in the first place. Maybe it meant seeing the bigger sign and then going to be the sign rather than asking for more and more and more proof. Or maybe the sign was there all along, walking and talking among them, offering healing and hope and light for the way forward. Maybe it was there all along and they just couldn't see it. Like Bruce driving his car, passing by every sign. Maybe it's here. Here with us now. Here with us still. Do we see it? Do we believe it? Or are we still asking for proof?